The grace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Welcome to Graham Presbyterian Church today. We're glad to see every one of you. We invite you to sign the friendship register, the book you'll find on the inside aisle of your pew. Pass it down. Make sure everyone gets a chance to sign it. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad to see you. Invite you to give us your name and address so we can give you another word of welcome to our church. We're glad to see everyone today. Are you well rested? Some of you lost an hour, some of you lost more than that because you stayed up later than you normally do, but hopefully you can stay awake a little while this morning, but glad that you're all here today. Take note of all the announcements in your bulletin. Let's start with the inserts, the Easter lilies. You have a chance to give those during the month of March, so you can fill that out. And then our next gym night, that stands for Greet, Eat, and Meet, and is available to everyone. Next one on April the 4th, you can be signing up for that. And then the other insert is about the Gideon ministry, and we'll be hearing more about that with our special speaker in just a moment. Look at the other announcements in your bulletin. Notice that we have two brand new confirmation banners in the hallway. You might want to go take a look at those with the names of all those who have been, every current member of the church who's been confirmed, not all those from the past necessarily, but all the current members who were confirmed here. So make sure you take a look at that. Also notice there are a couple of special events coming up next Saturday. March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Their play school will be having a yard sale that morning in the fellowship hall, so we invite you to come and participate in that. And then that evening at 6 o'clock, we have a special dinner that is sponsored by our Brotherhood Sunday School class, and then that will also include a great concert by the Director's Trio. And the purpose of this is to benefit our backpack food program, so we're not charging for the meal, but we are asking your donations, and all of the money given will go to the backpack food program. Nothing will go to the singers or the meal because the Brotherhood class is taking care of that, and we greatly appreciate that. We do need you to sign up. So today's the last day. The sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board in the hallway. We really need to know how many people to prepare for, as you might imagine, so make sure you sign up today if you haven't already. Notice on the back of your bulletin, our Lenten Mission Project. During the season of Lent, we're encouraging you to give gifts to Graham Presbyterian women, and those gifts will go toward Global Outreach Mission that Keith and Karen Dodson work with, and each Sunday we're featuring a different missionary who they have helped get on the field, so you see information there about that, as well as our backpack food program, so you can read that special information as well. Look now at our prayer concern list. Continue to pray for all of these and let you know that Teresa King, Aaron Day's sister, passed away Friday at hospice home. So be in prayer for comfort and peace for that family. And also continue to pray for Dot Chambers, Faye Kaner's sister, who is receiving palliative care at Liberty Commons. Are there any other prayer concerns or praises that you would like to mention today? Let me invite you then to look at your bulletin. We have a wonderful praise today, and then we have a brand new member to welcome. We're always glad to welcome new members. Some of you who maybe have been coming for a while but have not yet joined, I'd be glad to talk with you about the membership process. It's very simple. But we're glad to have Bob Bickle join us today. Bob is, he and his wife lived for many years in Charlotte, and then she passed away. And then a few months ago, he moved to Brookwood in Burlington to be close to his kids. And then in time came to our church and started attending our church and just loved it here and so wants to become a member here. So, Bob, we welcome you. Let's welcome Bob as our newest member. Bob, we're so glad that in the providence of God, God brought you here. We're glad that you're here. I'm glad. I'm so glad. Now, if you'll look in your bulletin, also, we have a special minute for mission today. from Gideon's International. Randy Bivens is so glad that Randy could be with us. So, Randy, come and tell us, give us an update on the Gideon's ministry and what's going on with the Gideon's ministry. After he concludes, I'll tell you how you can participate in that ministry.
Good morning. I bring you greetings from Gideon's International and from your local Gideon camp, the Alamance East Camp. And the ministry was formed by God plus three men on July the 1st, 1899. We're now 118 years of age, and we're quickly becoming 119 in just a couple of months. But these three men that formed the ministry were traveling salesmen. Their purpose was to make sure that a Bible was in each room so that at night they were able to fulfill promises either to the mother, to the wives, or to the Lord, or to the pastors, that they would read Scripture every night before turning into bed. And they would leave a Bible in a hotel, they'd buy one, leave it there, and other people would use it, misuse it, and some would even take it with them. So it got expensive to replace the Bibles at every place they went. So then the Presbyterian Association stepped up and said, we'll help pay for that. And for many years, the Presbyterian Association supplied Bibles for the state of Wisconsin in the hotels. Then it branched out to other denominations that they helped also. And the men would come and give a stewardship report, which is what I'm doing today, of how your money and prayers are being used in the ministry to further the gospel. It started with three men, but today there's approximately 270,000 Gideon and auxiliary members here around the world. The Gideons are the Christian business and professional men, and the auxiliary is the wives of these men. They distribute scriptures and place scriptures in 201 countries and 107 different languages. We distribute in charter schools and private schools here in Alamance County. We're not allowed to go into public schools. Also, we distribute Bibles at colleges, to law enforcement, and to EMT personnel, and to the military. And we place Bibles in hotels, motels, hospitals, rest homes, doctors, and lawyers' offices, and jails. Every time your heart beats, approximately three scriptures are given out somewhere around the world. These little PWTs that we carry in our pockets, we use it to witness to people that we come in contact with. The Gideons pay for these. These not come out of what money that's used that y'all give to the offering. In 1934, a young man about the age of 16 who was working on a dairy farm there in Charlotte, a man began to observe him. The man was name was Albert Macon. He's a supervisor on the farm there, and he took an interest in the soul of this young man. Albert Macon was a Gideon, and he had a concern for the man, for the boy. He approached the boy and said, there's a revival going on here in Charlotte. Would you like to go with me? And the boy hesitated, and Macon knew that the young man liked to drive fancy cars. Well, Macon had just purchased a brand-new red pickup truck. He told the young man, said, if you'll go with me, I'll let you drive my truck. And the little boy jumped on it then. Well, at that revival, after a couple of nights of going, the young man got saved. Albert Macon had been a Gideon, had given him a Bible to carry with him to the services. Well, that young man, his name was Billy Graham. So you see how the word spread from one Bible to millions of souls has been saved over the years that Billy Graham has been serving the Lord's ministry. When someone comes to my house to do some work on my house or anything, I make sure they get a testament. This past May of last year, my AC unit went out, and it was too hot for me to live in my house, so I needed a new one right away. Contacted the local AC personnel, and they put a new one in. We got five men working on it that day, and when the project began to end, to wind down, I went out to give them a copy of God's Word, which is what I always do. If you come to my house to do work, you're going to get a copy of God's Word. And as I approached these men, every one of them, four out of the five, accepted right away. And the fifth one that I talked to, he said, I'm not sure. I said, I got one. Will this work? And you can see it's about all the pieces. It was not in his bag when he had it. It was in his hip pocket. He said, a couple years ago at Alamance Community College, he was given one of these testaments by the Gideons there. And he said he read it each morning before he left to work. He read it at lunchtime. He read it each night before he went to bed. And he said he'd been carrying it in his hip pocket all this time. I said, well, I'd like to have that Bible to show people how God's Word is being used. I'll give you another one free. He said, sure thing. So he swapped. First thing he did was stick it in his hip pocket. So this is going to be like this one also later on. But we started recording our scriptures to get instead in 1908. September 10th, 2001, we replaced our first billionth copy. 93 years. That's a lot of time to get that many Bibles out. But on April 25th, 2015, we placed our second billion copies of God's Word. That's less than 14 years. Wow. Pretty quick. Why? Because Jesus is coming. The world and people know that there's something strange going on. There's something happening in this world today. And they know that the world doesn't have the answer. So they're seeking God's Word. I come to you today with this one plea. Our physical year runs from June 1st to May 31st of each year. And our current physical year, Alamance East Church Ministry offering is a little over $12,000 short of their $22,000 goal. We're getting in churches. In fact, we're in more churches this time of year than what we were last year. But the offerings have been small. So I come to you today telling you that the money that's given prints and places Bibles in open hands, not only here in America, but also around the world. No Gideon gets any money from the offerings that are taken up. We're volunteers for time and our monies. And a statement that the Gideons always make, there's no funds raised, no scriptures are printed, we don't do it on credit. So if the funds are not raised, the scriptures are not printed, and people don't get a Bible. Think of this. You walk into the grocery store. You see a bright red, delicious apple. You take it home, purchase it, and take it home with you. You eat it. And in the center of that apple, there's seeds. If you take those seeds and plant it, it's going to produce more apple trees and more apples. That's what happens with the Word of God. We give it to one person or two people or a dozen people, and they take it. Jesus Christ, through his Word, changes their hearts and lives, and they spread that Word. That change has been made to them. So it doesn't just end with one testament. It spreads all over the world. I'd like to leave you with this. On my answer machine at home, if you recall me, on my answer machine, call me on the telephone, 336-227-5641. I'm not there or choose not to answer because it's outside the area code, local area code, and you can get my answer machine. My answer machine says, sorry, Mr. Call, if you would leave me a brief message and your telephone number, and I'll get back with you whenever I can, when I can, or as soon as I can. If the rapture doesn't take place. Oh, where your soul spend eternity. Thank you.
Randy, thank you so much for your faithfulness. And let me tell you how you can participate in the Gideon ministry. You see in your bulletin with the information about the offering. During the time of the offering, we'll be receiving our regular offering in the regular offering plates, but then the baskets will be used to receive the offering for the Gideons. Any cash that's placed in those baskets will go to the Gideon offering. If you want to write a check, make it payable to the church, to Graham Presbyterian Church, and then we'll write one check that includes the entire offering and give it to the Gideons. And the thing about this is that any money you put in there, the total amount, goes to just printing and distributing Bibles. That's it. So I hope that you will give generously to that offering today. Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together, and we'll join in the call to worship, which you'll find in your bulletin. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. When we acknowledge our sins to the Lord and do not cover up what we have done, God forgives the guilt of our sins. Therefore, let us all worship God as the one who cleanses us through the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that we can gather in this place and claim your name and your presence and know that you are with us. So, Lord, we pray that no matter what the circumstances of our life, the difficulties and trials in our life, that we would be able to come together and rejoice in you this day. We pray through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Let me invite you now to be honest before the Lord and confess your sins together using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. God of compassion, you are slow to anger and full of mercy, welcoming sinners who return to you with penitent hearts. Receive in your loving embrace all who come home to you. Seat them at your bountiful table of grace, that with all your children they may feast with delight on all that satisfies the hungry heart. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Does God love you? Does God love you? You know, some people really struggle with that, and sometimes it's because they have great trials in their life, terrible things happen, and they wonder, does God really love me? Does God still love me? Scripture gives us proof. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So accept and believe the good news of the gospel. Through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, your sins are forgiven, and God has proven God does love you. Amen. Invite all the children to come forward now for the children's sermon. As they're coming, why don't you greet someone close by you and let them know you're glad to see them today. All right, why don't y'all have a seat? Go ahead and have a seat. Today is a very special Sunday. It's Girl Scout Sunday. You can see in your bulletin that we're honoring the Girl Scouts. There's a troop that meets at our church, and I wanted the names listed here. I want to let you know Ainsley Cutlip is clogging in Tennessee, I believe, and Sarah Neal is not able to be here today. But we are so glad to have Abby and Ellie with us. You see their names in the bulletin. They're going to tell you a little bit about what they do as Girl Scouts, and then I'm going to give you a chance to help them in one of their projects, okay? So.
So we are Troop 41785, and we meet here at the church about once a month. Our most recent project is a little free pantry. This is basically a box that's weatherproofed. We're going to put it on the church's campus, and it will contain food.
We are hoping to collect some food around the church today, and we thank you all who brought food, and I guess we'll get started. Or does anyone have any questions first?
Maybe you have a question? I thought she was going to ask, where are the cookies? Yeah, Abby. Don't miss a chance. All right, we asked you last Sunday to bring macaroni and cheese or canned food, and some of you remembered, and that's great. If you didn't, that's okay. You can do that another time. But we're going to invite the children and the Girl Scouts to go around and collect that now. We've got some bags here for you, so make sure everyone gets a bag.
And just walk around, and if somebody's got some food, let them put that in the bag, and it will go for our brand new little food pantry.
Collected a lot. Now, y'all have a seat. Y'all did a great job. All right. Thank you very much. Well, we thank you for your help, and we are so proud of all the Girl Scouts. I want y'all to turn around and show them your badges on the back. Look at all the things they've done. They've worked hard to earn each one of these. So let's give them a round of applause and appreciation. Because, you know, they are learning a lot, but they're also helping our community, and I'm so thankful for that. And if you're not familiar with this little free pantry, you see a picture in your bulletin. What's going to be is like a little box that will be in somewhere on the church property, and constantly, always in that box will be food, and it's open, it's not locked, so that anybody, anytime in the community who needs something, you know, we'll try to keep it stocked, and so anytime they can go there and get something to eat, which is a great idea, a great way to share the love of Jesus. So thank you for helping us with that project, okay? Let's have a prayer now. I'll pray, and you just listen today, okay? Lord, thank you for all the ways that we can share your love. And especially today, Lord, we're thankful for the Girl Scouts, for the troop that meets here in our church in particular. We pray that you would bless them in a very special way as they continue their work in this community. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, before they leave, are there any other Girl Scouts here today? Riley. I didn't want to miss out on... I'm sorry, I don't hear anybody else. Sandra, Riley, what about anybody who has ever been in the Girl Scouts or participated in helping a troop? Would you stand? I want to see that. Wow, isn't that great? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right. Okay, now you can head out to Children's Church. If someone told you and you believed them and you knew for sure somehow that you had less than 24 hours to live, what would you do? Think about that for a moment. What would you do? Would you try to get in touch with some people that maybe you hadn't talked to in a while, maybe for one last conversation? Would you try to spend time with some of your closest family members? Would you plan a special meal to eat? What would you do if you knew you only had 24 hours to live? Well, think about Jesus. He knew when he was going to die. Now, how do you think I know that? Well, he had told his disciples on three separate occasions exactly what was going to happen. He was going to go to Jerusalem, suffer there, be put to death, and rise again. And on the night before his death, he met with his disciples and told them, I'm going to have to leave. But in his last 24 hours, knowing that he only had 24 hours, what did he do? Well, he acted as a servant and washed his disciples' feet. He predicted that one of them would betray him. He predicted that Peter would disown him three times. He told his followers that he would leave them, but he would not leave them alone because the Holy Spirit would come. And he closed by saying, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He left them with a word of promise and comfort and hope. Then he looked toward heaven and prayed. Now, where was Jesus when he prayed on that last night? Where was he? Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, well, that's what three of the Gospels say. And then in John's Gospel pictures him, we assume, in the upper room talking to the disciples. And then at the end of chapter 14, he says, come now, let us leave. But doesn't say anything about where he went. He just keeps on talking. And then in chapter 18, after his prayer in chapter 17, John tells them that they cross the Kidron Valley and go over to the garden, what we would call the Garden of Gethsemane. So in John's Gospel, Jesus prays a long prayer in John chapter 17. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 17. He prays this long prayer, but it's before he gets to the Garden of Gethsemane. So, as we think about Jesus praying, we're going to look today, we're looking during the season at Lent at great prayers of the Bible. We're going to look today at what I think is perhaps the greatest prayer in the Bible. But before we get to that, I want to ask four simple questions today. You'll find them in your bulletin. First, did Jesus pray? Did Jesus pray? Well, yes. Prayer was a regular part of Jesus' life. He prayed at his baptism. He prayed when the crowds were around. He prayed before healing people. He prayed before choosing the 12. In fact, there are 10 recorded prayers of Jesus in the Gospels. Now, there are times where it says just that Jesus prayed, but doesn't say what he said, but there are 10 times that they're actually recorded what he prayed. But the longest one is in John chapter 17. So, did Jesus pray? Yes, he prayed all the time. Second question, why did Jesus pray? Have you ever thought about that? Why did Jesus pray? Well, you can tell from some of the times that he prayed that he prayed different kinds of prayers, thanking God for what he was about to do, or praying for strength to do God's will or to do miracles, or for help when he was weak or troubled. But think about it. Did Jesus really need to pray? I mean, Jesus was fully God, right? So why is prayer like talking to himself? Why does Jesus need to pray? Well, Jesus was also fully human. And Jesus felt this strong need to be in communion and fellowship with the Father. Now, he prayed at times seeking God's wisdom, help, guidance, strength, power, because he felt the need for that. But he also prayed at times to be in communion, in fellowship with the Father. If you think about it, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all three existed before there was any creation, before there was any us, And these three persons of the Trinity existed in full fellowship together. They enjoyed, now we're talking about God, and it's hard to wrap our minds around who God really is, but in our weak understanding of God, it's like these three persons just enjoyed being together. And so when Jesus came to this earth as a human being, he still enjoyed being with the Father and the Spirit. My daughter Emily is here today, one of her last trips home from far away Tennessee before she graduates, we hope. We know. And so I'll just pick on her and use her as an example. Emily's away at college. I talk to her on the phone. Why do I talk to Emily on the phone? To answer her questions about how much money she needs? Well, yeah, sometimes. But why do I talk to her? Is it because I am a dutiful father? And being the dutiful father that I am, I know that I ought to talk to my children. So therefore, I am going to talk to her because it's what I ought to do. No. I do it out of pleasure. I want to hear what's going on in her life. I want to interact with her. I want to share some stories from my life with her. You know, I want to enjoy this interaction. That's really what prayer is. But sometimes we reduce prayer to duty. Have you talked to God lately? No, and I feel guilty about it. Have you talked to God? Well, I talked to God, but I feel guilty because it wasn't long enough. It's my duty. I don't really enjoy talking to God, but I'm going to make myself today because they say in church you ought to pray. Sometimes that's the way we are. No, God enjoys spending time with you. If you want to use more up-to-date terms, hanging, chilling. You know, God enjoys chilling with you. And God wants you to hang with him. It's a love relationship. Anybody that you love and you want to be in relationship with, you want to spend time together. So it's not, we shouldn't approach it as a duty, something that we have to do that we don't want to do. And that's the way Jesus approached prayer. He loved talking to God. He loved listening to God. He loved being in relationship with God. Third question. What did Jesus pray? Now, before we came together today and you knew what the scripture was, and I asked you about Jesus praying or the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus prayed, what did he pray? And you would probably start saying, out of rote, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, the Lord's Prayer, that's what we call it. But if you think about it, was that Jesus' prayer? No, it was not. Do you know why? Because there's a phrase in that prayer that Jesus would not pray. Forgive us our debts, trespasses, sins. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Jesus had no need to pray the prayer, forgive me my sins. So this was not Jesus' prayer that he prayed. It was Jesus' prayer that he taught his followers to pray. It's a model. Instead of calling it the Lord's Prayer, it's really the Lord's model prayer. It's a model that Jesus gives to us and says, okay, here's kind of the basics. Why don't you kind of use this as a model to teach you how to pray? But it's not the prayer that Jesus prayed. If you want to find a prayer that Jesus prayed, the best one and the most complete, the longest one, is in John 17. So look with me at that prayer in John 17, and you'll see that there are three specific parts to this prayer, three things that Jesus prayed for. First, verses 1 to 5, Jesus prayed to be glorified. Jesus prayed to be glorified. Now, don't know yet what that means, but that's what he was praying for. Let's look at it. Verse 1, Father, the hour has come. Stop right there. If you hadn't read the whole Gospel of John, you don't know what he's talking about. All through the Gospel of John, Jesus, people keep asking him about, has the time come? And Jesus says, no, the time hasn't come. Remember, when they ran out of wine at the wedding in Cana, And his mother spoke to him about doing it, and he said, the time hasn't come. He didn't mean the time hasn't come for changing the water into wine. But all through the Gospel of John, he says, the hour hasn't come yet. The hour for what? The hour for him to be glorified. The hour for him to be lifted up on the cross and be glorified. It hasn't come yet, but now he says, it has come. Father, the hour has come, so glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Ever wonder what eternal life is? Well, he tells you. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Wow. It's like we're listening in on something that we're not worthy to hear, in a way. But he's saying, Father, this inexpressible glory that was ours, that is ours, that was ours before the world began, now glorify me. And as I say in the Gospel of John, this glory, he says, is when he's lifted up on the cross. Now, when Jesus is lifted up on the cross, he's going to suffer, and it's going to be an ugly sight. It doesn't look like glory. But John says that's when Jesus is most glorified. Why? Because he's doing what the Father had sent him to do. And he was doing it for us. So his prayer now is, glorify your Son. And then in verse 6, the second part of the prayer. Now, Jesus prayed for his disciples. He's going to pray now for his disciples. Verse 6. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. That is, those who have believed in him, his disciples. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They believed them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. So now I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't care about the world, doesn't care about those who have not believed in him, but he's just saying right now, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. This wonderful reciprocal relationship among the persons of the Trinity. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. See, chronologically, you know, he's getting ready to leave, but they're going to remain behind. They're going to need help. They're still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them. They're going to need it. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Stop and think about that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons of the Trinity, one God, now and forever, one God from eternity past, from before there was any world, still one God in unity, and now he says, I want them to have that kind of unity. I want them to be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled, that one who would betray him. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Don't miss that. Look what Jesus prayed for. That those who believed in him would have the full measure of his joy within them. I can't even explain to you what that means. I can't even quantify that for you. The full measure of Christ's joy. That is beyond imagination, how much that is. And he prays that that full measure would be within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. So this is not, they've believed in me, and everything has been wonderful ever since. They have no problems. No, The world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world. Sometimes that seems like it would be a good prayer. This world has so much trouble. This world causes so much trouble for me. God, just take me out. He says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one, that you protect them in the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. So, Lord, protect them as they stay in this world and are sent out into the world to do the mission that I've called them to do. But there's one more prayer request. And this one blows my mind even more than the first two. Jesus prayed for all future believers. I asked you a while ago, what would you do if you knew you only had 24 hours left? What would you be thinking about? I think if I knew my death was soon, it would clear my mind and I would set priorities. I wouldn't be so concerned about some things that I have been concerned about. You know what I mean? Well, here's Jesus, knowing his time is short. He prays that he'd be glorified. He prays for those who have believed in him, but now he prays for all future believers. My prayer is not for them alone, he says, not for those who I've just prayed about, those who believe in me now. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Now, if you underline your Bible, you can underline that phrase, and you could write above that, me. Think about it. The night before he died, when his mind was clear and his priorities were straight, Jesus prayed for you. He prayed for all those who would believe through their message. That's you. Jesus is praying for you, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Do we act like we're all one? So many times we don't. We fight. We fuss. We talk about each other behind each other's backs. We don't act like we're one, but that's still Jesus' prayer for us. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. Jesus in us and the Father in Jesus, all connected together, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Why doesn't the world know that now? Maybe because we are not unified as we should be. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. Jesus is praying that we would see his glory, see it, experience it in a level that we've never experienced before, to know that it's real, to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you've loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Don't miss that last verse. Jesus is praying that his love would be in us, would be part of who we are to the core of our being, and that Jesus would be in us. It would take a long time to read over this prayer over and over again to really grasp what Jesus is really saying, the height of what he's saying, this glory that he talks about. One more question. Why do we need to pray? If Jesus needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? But it's not just something we need to do. It ought to be something that we want to do. Lord, you are the one who loves me greater than anybody in this world. Lord, your love is unchangeable, unconditional. It is eternal. You love me in a deeper way than anybody else. You know me better than anybody else, and yet you still love me. If everybody else knew all about me that you know they wouldn't love me, but you love me. Now let's talk about that, Lord. Let me tell you what's going on in my life, and let me listen to you teach me from your word how you want me to live. You need some encouragement to pray? Well, let me close with these verses from Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, Jesus, our high priest, the one representing us before God, who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We don't have somebody who doesn't even understand what we're going through. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. So let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Now, if I have to appear before a very famous person, I'm nervous. Well, what do I say? What do I wear? What do I do? How do I act? But then to appear before God, really scared. But he says, no, approach with confidence, because look who's seated at God's right hand. My high priest, the one who knows me, the one who loves me, the one who empathizes with my weaknesses. So come with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Friends, are you in need today? Do you have a need in your life? I would bet that every one of us, it wouldn't take us very long to think, and we could think of a need. Whatever your need is, God encourages you to come. Come and talk to me about it. Come and tell me about it. Let me hear more about it, and let me help you in your time of need. That is the great privilege of prayer. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this high and exalted prayer. It's as if we're listening in on things that are too deep for us to even understand, and yet we thank you that the prayer has been recorded so that we can hear in Jesus' own voice how he prayed, that he prayed that he would be glorified as he carried out your plan. He prayed and cared deeply for those he was leaving behind that believed in you, and then he cared deeply for us, for all who would believe. So, Lord, we thank you. We pray that we would be encouraged to talk with you, to know that it's because you love us dearly. You want us to come and talk with you. So help us to do that, to bring our needs. Lord, we bring the needs of those who are here this morning. Think especially, Lord, about the family of Teresa King. We pray that you would be especially near to them at this time of loss and comfort them, encourage them. Lord, for others that we know about that are going through troubled times, we pray that you'd be near to them and help them to know that you care about their needs. Lord, thank you for your love that never fails us. We express our love to you, Lord, by our worship today and our prayers, even as we join together in prayer and praying the prayer that Jesus taught his followers to pray long ago, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let me invite you now to look in your bulletin at the affirmation of faith. Let us express what we believe as we say these words together. Let's stand as we're able. We'll say what we believe. I believe that God, because of Christ's atonement, will never hold against me any of my sins, nor my sinful nature, which I will struggle against all my life. Rather, in God's grace, God grants me the righteousness of Christ to free me forever from judgment. All praise and glory be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. As I told you earlier, we'll be taking the offering. The regular offering will go in the offering plates, and then the baskets, the offering for the Gideon's ministry. Let us give generously. when we were honoring the Girl Scouts earlier in the service, Riley was in the back, so you didn't get to see her, but now she's in the front, so you can all see her and see the badges that she has earned as well. So, Riley, we're proud of you too. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the ways that we can join together in the mission that you've called us to do, as you've sent us into this world. Lord, the gifts that we've given today are part of that mission, so we pray that you would continue to use us to be obedient to you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, if somebody tells me, stops me somewhere and tells me, you know, I'm praying for you, that makes me feel good. And then if it's somebody really important or somebody I hold in high esteem, that really makes me feel good. Remember today, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is praying for you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit give you peace, comfort, and hope now and forevermore. Amen.